From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM.
God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and tomorrow, Happy Hanukkah to those of you of the Jewish faith, and welcome to Coast AM for our special 3 days of holiday magic, holiday programs for you, beginning with tonight, of course, and then over the weekend, we will have live programs for you on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day night with Connie Willis. Later on tonight, Miracle Open Lines, so share those stories with us. Here's what's happening. Carrie Fisher, the actress who is known for her role as Princess Leia in the original Star Wars trilogy, is now in stable condition after suffering what could have been a heart attack, a medical emergency aboard a flight from London to Los Angeles. Her brother Todd Fisher says she was out of emergency and stabilized at a Los Angeles hospital. The 60-year-old star experienced medical trouble during the flight and was treated by paramedics immediately upon landing in Los Angeles around noon on Friday. According to reports in the celebrity website TMZ, which first reported the incident, they said sources have told them that she indeed suffered a heart attack. An Indiana woman has been charged with two felonies after she beat her two sons for opening their Christmas gifts a little too early. According to court documents, the 36-year-old woman of Greenfield admitted that she lost it when her 7 and 9-year-old sons found Christmas presents hidden in her closet and they opened them up. Gosh, we all did that as kids, didn't we? A number of gruesome discoveries involving mutilated animals have prompted a Southwestern Ontario Humane Society to warn pet owners about a possible serial animal killer on the loose. So far, 17 dead animals. I'm not going to get into the gruesomeness of what was going on there, but they are concerned. This is in southwestern Ontario, in that greater area, around London, Ontario. Just be careful with your animals out there. Don't leave them alone. Governments worldwide requested Facebook users' data nearly 60,000 times in the first half of 2016. That's a 27% increase over requests made in the second half of 2015. And if you've been drooling over Apple's flashy new MacBook Pro, you might want to stuff your stocking with a different laptop. Consumer Reports says that it has decided not to recommend Apple's new MacBook Pros because the notebook's battery life can be, as they say, miserable. Final test results confirm an experimental Ebola vaccine is highly effective, a major milestone that could help prevent the spread of outbreaks like the one that killed thousands in West Africa. Now, every once in a while, we go all around the country looking for Connie Willis. That's right. Where's Willis? Connie, of course, is our weekend host on Coast to Coast, and like I said, she's going to be on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day for us. And let's check in with Connie right now, because where's Willis?
I love that. Hey, George, how are you doing?
I'm great.
You sound really good tonight.
I'm great. Now, so, all right, so where are you?
I am 100, I'm losing my you know, I think the deeper you go down into the planet, at least my voice goes away. I mean, maybe I'm coughing up limestone, but I'm in a limestone quarry 100 feet down under the ground, under the Louisville Zoo in Louisville, Kentucky. It's called the Mega Caverns. It's at least 100 feet down, and then it goes all the way down to 400 feet. And there's all sorts of cool stuff. They built this about 30 years ago. You know, they're pulling out limestone to create roadways and highways and different things like that. And it's 100 acres. There's 17 miles of roadway. It is the coolest, neatest place. It's creepy, scary, it's freaking dark.
Well, what are you doing down there?
Really beautiful. Well, you know what? getting in the Christmas spirit. And you know how? Because what's cool about this place is they got like a bike park and zip lines. It's all fun. But during the holiday season, they have Lights Under Louisville. It's the only light show of its kind on the planet. There's over 2 million lights that are up with Frosty the Snowman, the nativity scene, Hanukkah stuff as well. And it's beautiful. You actually drive in your car, a part of that 17 miles, and you hear this music blaring while you're down here. And you just drive, and everybody just drives in line and looks around, and there's beautiful lights. It's the coolest thing ever. It's an actual tradition now with my family and friends at Christmas. And it is the neatest thing I've ever seen in my life when it comes to Christmas stuff.
Well, when are you going to meander back? Because you've got programs this weekend.
Well, you know what? First of all, wait a minute. I got to tell you, there's zip lines here. There's other fun stuff. And he's going to take me to some creepy areas where, you know, this is also like a natural bomb shelter. And they actually had a list of 50, I think it was 50,000 people on a list that if anything happened, this was their safe place. The only person that they know, besides, you know, military and government and stuff like that, was Colonel Sanders. That was the one person's name that they knew that was going to be allowed to come here to survive any bad thing. So I'm going to play around a little bit, but I will be in for tomorrow. We're going to talk to Bishop James Long about the true story of Christmas, and then you can also ask him about, well, was Jesus an E.T.? So that's cool. So we're going to do stuff like that. And then I think the next night is Chris. We're going to talk about Krampus. And we're also going to do creepy Christmas.
Well, you take care of yourself. Now, I'm prepared to come in, but I expect you to be in the work, all right?
You know what? Why don't you come here? Because it's always 58 degrees, and we can put some wine down here and, you know, enjoy wine all year long perfectly. The perfect temperature, right?
Where's Willis? She's down there in some landmine somewhere. Well, it may be 3 billion light years away from Earth, but a distant constellation could be trying to contact us. Six bursts of radio waves have been detected from the constellation Auriga. And earlier testing shows they're just a few milliseconds. Now, while the source of the waves remains unknown, and we've got the story for you at coasttocoastam.com, some suggest the mysterious bursts of energy could be a sign of alien life trying to contact us. I wonder if that's happening. Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center because he gets all these reports all over the world. Peter, what do you got for us this week?
I certainly do, George, and you probably remember that just about a year ago I gave a report from North Pole, Alaska, up near Fairbanks. This year I went south. I'm in Albany, Oregon, at the home of a favorite cousin of mine, and I'm surrounded by him and his three generations of his family. They find it hard to believe that they're actually related to a full-time UFO investigator.
Yes,
but a lot of interesting reports, and we just updated our website tonight, so four of the five reports that I'd like to feature are available for the Coast readers' enjoyment. First one I'd like to talk about comes from a Coast listener. He heard my broadcast last week, and he said, I'd better get my report in for my late father. This comes from the summer of about 1992, he estimates. His father was out driving to work about 4 o'clock in the morning, summer of 92, and suddenly his car started acting up. He was having electrical problems with his radio, was very staticky, and suddenly the car stopped. He got out and was just bathed in bright light. He thought he was having some kind of medical emergency. That report is posted to our website for 1992. It deserves people's attention. It's reminiscent of Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the railroad crossing. I'm sure you remember that.
I love that scene.
It was my favorite, too. Second report is one I alluded to only briefly last week. It comes from Lahaina, Hawaii. I think that's on the island of Maui. A young woman was driving to the east edge of the island, and she saw an intensely bright light with distinct quadrilateral shape to it. Saw it very briefly. It disappeared from her sight. She saw it again, and when she got to the east edge of the island, she asked a security guard if he happened to have seen it. He said he didn't. But he'd had four reports from residents of the community that he worked as a guard for. This young woman has submitted a very nice illustration, and people can now go to our website, read that report, for the 10th of December, Lahaina, Hawaii, and see her excellent illustration. Very nicely done. Third report I'd like to share with the Coast audience comes from the ocean, 100 miles east of Cuba. Just 10 days ago, a gentleman was resting in a deck chair on the starboard side of a passenger cruise liner. They were headed east towards the Bahama Island Grand Turk, and he looked out just about 40 or 50 feet from the starboard side of the ship, and he was flabbergasted to see a black or distinctly dark object projecting straight out of the ocean. His first impression was some kind of periscope, probably on a submarine. Then he immediately rejected that because the object was too large in diameter and it was just too stable in the water. They sailed by it. We'll never know what that object was, but to this gentleman's, the witness's credit, he sent a written report to the skipper of that vessel. Whether he's gotten a response or not, I have no idea. Third report comes from Davie, Florida. Gentleman saw a blimp-shaped object with a dark black panel on the ventral surface of it. It suddenly accelerated. It flew in the vicinity of Perry Airport near Davie, and it, he believes, caused an approaching commercial airliner to abort its landing approach to that airport and fly off. He assumes that it was because that object was in its airspace. And the next and last report I would like to share with the crew, with the coast-to-coast audience, comes from Rio Rancho. This is from a week ago, the 16th of December. A young man was watching movies with three other witnesses at 11:30 at night. Suddenly, their whole house was filled with an orange flash and a loud sonic report. He quickly got on the telephone and started calling neighbors and friends and people at work at that hour, and they had all experienced it too. Rio Rancho, Colorado, New Mexico. If I said Colorado, I meant New Mexico. So a lot going on, and there are 60 other reports we posted just tonight to our website. Lots going on. And with that, I'm going to call upon a group of three generations of the Barnes clan in Albany, Oregon, to sign off for me, George. And thanks very much, and I wish you a Merry Christmas.
You got it, Pierre. Let's listen to them. Are they there?
I'm here. I hope you heard them.
I didn't hear much of them. Have them do it again.
Let's do it again. Here we go.
All right. That's a little scratchy. Thanks, Peter. Have yourself a great Christmas. Up next, Sonia Grace joins us as we talk about angels on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Sonia Grace, of course, is a mystic who works to provide immediate stability, clarity, guidance to her international clientele. Her gifts allow her to help others who deal with entities, aliens. She's the author of Spirit Traveler, and we're going to talk with her about the roles angels play in our lives every day. And don't forget, at the end of the program tonight, the last 2 hours, we're going to have Miracle Open Lines, and we're going to talk about Christmas and some events like that. But, Sonia, what a great time to have you on the program. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you, my dear.
Thank you, George. It's wonderful to be on the show.
How have you been?
I've been great. I was reminiscing of seeing you in Colorado for Beyond Belief when I posted that picture of us together, and I was just so happy to get to talk to you. And you know, your guardian angel, Tom, is one of my favorite people on the planet, so I'm wishing you both a Merry Christmas.
He's a good guy. He's taking a couple days off, enjoying his holiday with his family and friends, and he's probably listening right now, cheering you on.
I'm so glad. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Sonia,
angels is one of my favorite topics.
It's a great topic, and I want to get your take, because I love asking people when we start talking about angels what they think they are. What do you think they are?
Well, my experience of angels and all things on the astral plane is that I see them, and I physically see them, and I feel and have been told by angels that they are high beings, if you will, and I'm going to call them star beings, just as I would call demigods, star beings, and we have, of course, alien life that we know comes from the stars, but they are very, very high beings that are probably the closest, you know, to Creator, God, Source, what we all look to and pray to, that we can get. They've never incarnated, so they have no karma, and they're very, very, you know, benevolent and certainly here to look after humanity.
A lot of people think that angels could be entities, could be UFO aliens, as opposed to something religious or spiritual. What do you think?
Well, the way that I explain alien life in the universe, and I have seen many aliens, I loved listening to the report you just had. I had an alien encounter in Cincinnati, of all places. But, you know, the way that I look at this is angels are a very high vibration, and they are beings that come from, I call the parallel universe, or that place that we all come from, which is, you know, the spirit world. And our soul bodies are infinite in their experiences. We're just having a human experience as infinite beings. So angels who have never incarnated, they're much bigger, they're huge, their presence is just huge. They're more like demigods. And when I say demigods, I'm talking about, you know, what I really talk about in Spirit Traveler, my new book. These demigods are much larger beings. They're much more evolved. They're benevolent in their own right, whereas our human soul's natural state of being is in spirit form, much like other alien beings' natural state of being is in spirit form. Some aliens are much more advanced than we are. They can take physical form and return back to a non-physical form. We're very young as humans. We're like four-year-olds, and we're trying to, you know, get the hang of what's going on, being in a physical body.
Now, this holiday season, I don't even want to bring the name up, but I have to because he was an angel, Lucifer. What the heck happened to him?
Oh, poor Lucifer. You know, what I think happened is, again, George, what we've experienced through history is a certain kind of history being reported based on the happenings of the times, based on the politics of the times, based on the religious beliefs of the times. You know, do I believe there's a Lucifer out there? Yeah, I mean, I think there is a dark energy, a dark force, absolutely. We live in dualism. There's good, there's light, there's bad, there's dark. But, you know, Lucifer, I think that this is more of a story created for the times to get people in line to follow protocol as to what people were wanting, you know, the masses to do.
Now, I will always remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Mom sat me down as a little boy and said, watch this with me, Georgie. You'll never forget it. And she's absolutely right. I haven't forgotten it, and I always watch it every year. It's kind of my personal tradition. But in that movie, of course, there was a guardian angel there who, by the name of Clarence, who helped George Bailey from his horrible ways. He wanted to, you know, end his life. And the guardian angel jumped in the icy, frigid waters and pretended he was drowning. So George jumps in and saves the angel. Anyways, these guardian angels, Sonia, are they all around us? Do we just have one, or do we have many?
No, I think we have many. And I refer to guardian angels as our loved ones who are on the other side. We have lots of our relatives that are looking after us, and I call them guardian angels. Then there's other guardian angels, which are more, you know, the angelic realm, these angels that we're talking about. And I believe that everybody has angels looking after them. But we also have our family members that have passed, and I call them guardian angels. I do not feel that people become angels and angels, you know, come into human form and become people. It's a beautiful notion, but I have never experienced that. I wrote a book called Become an Earth Angel. And this book is really about people living their life in service.
All right, hold on, Sonia. We're going to take a break, but we're coming back for more on Coast to Coast AM. It's the beginning of our holiday programming for you. And again, live shows for you on Christmas Eve and on Christmas night. We're going to be there for you. And we're talking with Sonia Grace right now about angels in the last 2 hours of the program. I'll have open lines, specifically miracle open lines. So those of you who have had some incredible miracle, something that has happened to you or a family member, I want you to share that story with us. No matter who you might be, police officer on duty, somebody in a hospital, you're just at home, just share that story with us. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Sonia Grace with us. Of course, her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and her book, her new one, is called Spirit Traveler, as we talk about angels right now, guardian angels. But Sonia, why with guardian angels do so many people have tragedies? They get into accidents, they get killed, they get hurt, sad things happen to them. Why aren't their guardian angels stepping in to help them out?
Because, George, people have karma. We incur this thing called karma in each lifetime that we have. And karma is unresolved emotional wounds. So when you're, in the 1500s and you're about to get your head lopped off because someone's accusing you of being a heretic, they're not bringing a therapist in and saying, hey, do you want to process this before you get your head chopped off? No, there's no therapist there. They're just chopping your head off, and you're traumatized. You've got shock and abandonment and fear and separation from God. You know, all these things are happening to you, and that's your karma. You bring that in, and here you are in the next lifetime working on shock and fear and abandonment and separation from Source. So that's why it's like guardian angels can intervene, but to only a certain extent, because we all have karma that we're here to work out.
What about now the archangels? Specifically, who are they in relationship to general angels?
Well, the archangels the archangels are the archangels.
They're the head angels,
of
right?
Angels, and Michael and Gabriel, Raphael and Uriel are the angels that I primarily work with. I'm a healer, so I'm constantly going in and doing, I'm like an energy surgeon working on people and repairing tissue and hearts and lungs and livers. And the archangels are the ones that I ask to help me. And I only work with angels when I do my work. And I see Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Uriel. They are the ones that really have helped so many people around the world. And George, when we were on the break, I was thinking about this. We have this acceptance of angels in all religions across the board. We accept that there are angels. And I was laughing to myself thinking, this is really our acceptance of star beings. We really do accept that there is life from other places in the universe. But we have made it okay by couching the angels in religion, But in fact, people have had a lot of angel visitations and stories of near death and seeing an angel come to them. And I feel that, they're with us all the time, that we are such a young species that they have really dedicated so much of their time and energy to helping us here on Earth.
Now, do you tap into the angelic realm, Sonia?
Absolutely. And as I was saying before break, the book I wrote, Become an Earth Angel, I actually go into the angelic realm. The angels took me there and showed me around, showed me what it was like. And, it was spectacular. I was so incredibly high, blissed out high, this feeling of euphoria being with the angels. And there's tons of them. When people say, do you know the name of this angel or that angel? It's like, no. I just ask for the angels to come and help me, because I feel that there's so many of them, and they so readily will come if people ask. And, I really want to say that to the people who are listening to the show tonight while you're driving, ask for the angels to be with you around the car, because it's a great way to travel.
Yeah, well, it sure is. Now, what's it like to be in that angelic realm when you were describing it?
I mean, it was incredible, George. It was, you know, it really was an amazing feeling.
It's not physical, though, right? It's not that you see, you don't see mountains and oceans or anything like that, do you?
No, I did not see a landscape. It was very open, but the colors were super, super sharp and much more, golds and silvers and really, really bright energy, white energy, lots of color. And the angels were everywhere. It was just like this big, giant sea of angels. And they took me in and showed me around. And, you know, I know maybe to some of your listeners, they think, well, you know, how is that possible? Well, you know, people die. People have near-death experiences, which I had one at 20 years old. And these things happen. People have an experience of seeing God or seeing angels or, you know, having an experience on the other side. It happens. And there is the other side. It's very real, and there's just a very thin barrier between us and that spirit realm, or what some people refer to as heaven.
And when people finally do succumb and go to the other side, mm-hmm. are there always angels there to greet them along with your loved ones who have passed on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When my father passed, I was with him, and I, you know, being a healer and the spiritual person that I am, I went with him. I mean, I literally walked him up that tunnel, and my grandma and grandpa, everybody was there, and I made it all the way to the top with him. He was my father was a really strong man, but he was very afraid of dying. You know, he had no spiritual orientation to, you know, yes, and this will happen. I mean, he was a guy who just believed, you know, you get put in the earth and that's it. And so I went with him, and I had him by the hand and took him all the way to the top, and then, of course, they turned me back and said, no, you have to go back. But it was beautiful. It's this beautiful, you know, passageway. Some people call it a tunnel, but it's this really super bright light. I call it a wormhole. And you travel through this thing with all your relatives, and you end up in what is the parallel universe where we all come from, this natural place where our soul body is at home. We're at home there.
I'm coming up on my 14th year anniversary, Sonia, of doing this program on January 1st.
Wow.
And over the course of those 14 years, I've talked to a lot of people about different angelic stories and miracles. And there are a couple I'll mention tonight, but one of them was an individual who called me and said he was out swimming in the ocean with friends who had decided that they wanted to just hang around by the shore while he continued swimming. And he was about 50 yards out, 150 feet, and he started getting an undercurrent pulling him down. And he said, George, I did not have the strength to outswim it. I did not have the strength to come back. And my friends were looking at me because they knew I was in distress. And he said, I was going to die. And he said, I went underwater, and as I was sinking, you can look up and see the blue sky,
right?
You know, and the water, of course, in between you. He said, a hand came through the water and reached down, and I grabbed it, and it pulled me back up, and I'm gasping for air, but I'm above. And I'm breathing, and I'm up out of the water, and I turn to thank this person who saved me, and there was no one there. And meanwhile, his friends were swimming out desperately to try to get him because they saw him go under.
Right.
And so they were only about 25 yards away from him, and they got close enough to help him back to shore. But he said there was nobody there. There was physically nobody there, but that hand, I saw the hand come down. It pulled me up through the water. He was like 3 feet underwater and sinking. And he said, I will never forget that moment. How do you explain that?
Well, George, I think there's stories of miracles all over the earth. I'm sure your listeners all have stories of miracles happening in their lives. you know, these things with angels coming in and helping people, assisting people. You know, someone's having a baby and things are wrong, and you know, the angel comes in and helps. I mean, it happens, and it's, to me, you know, it's really about all of us having a trust, a belief, and a trust that this is possible. We've gotten so technologically oriented now. We're so hardwired into what's the truth, what's the facts. It's got to be lined up. And we've stepped really far, far from trusting that there is a higher power, that there is much more to this universe than what we want to believe or we want to, you know, even think about. And I really feel like this next year, 2017, is about all of us, you know, carrying hope in us again, having hope and really having some trust that there is a higher power here. And you know, if we trust, these things happen. This is when the angels come in and help us.
Do you think, if there's truly a calamity afoot, that angels will step in? I mean, for example, where were they? I don't want to say I'm playing the devil's advocate, not a good word to use around Christmas, but where do the angels come when 9/11 happens, right, or when Fukushima occurs, right, or when other tragedies are out there? Why don't they step in and stop that stuff?
Oh, my God. I mean, where were the angels during Standing Rock? Where were the angels during, you know, Wounded Knee? I mean, we can go on through history and say, where were the angels? But in fact, George, the angels are right there, and I believe they're helping people. There's little miracle stories in all of those things that we're bringing up from history in the past. There's little stories where the guy had his arm shot, and somebody dragged him off the field, and he's to this day doesn't know who dragged him off the field.
He doesn't know. As a matter of fact, at the end of the program tonight, I'm running our traditional A Letter to Michael. And that is an incredible story that we're going to talk about. And it is all about the Archangel Michael. And so people request that.
I have a message for you from him as well.
For me?
Yes, yes. I got messages from all the archangels before the show, so I could share that with you.
Go ahead. Let's hear. Okay. What is
okay.
it?
Michael says, we must be fierce as warriors, but of the light, so the darkness can transform. All energy is in dualism, and it will transform. But it's up to us to no longer be victims, but the leaders of peace.
Well, I would agree with that. So there is a definition over sometimes who is the aggressor, who's the one who starts it. And that's debatable sometimes, I think. That's debatable.
But we have these two roles that we've played throughout history. We're victims and we're perpetrators. And we trade those roles, you know. We're perpetrator, then we're victim. And lifetime after lifetime, we play these roles out. And what I see now that we're in the fifth dimension is we are actually moving away from those roles. But it's going to take everybody putting, you know, their adult pants and hats and shirts on and saying, okay, I'm not going to be, you know, the child in this anymore. I'm not going to be the victim. I'm going to be the adult, and I'm going to take responsibility for what I've done, for what I've created. Because as a species, you know, we have collective karma. We have collective consciousness that affects everything and everybody. So those people over there who do this bad thing, granted, they're doing a bad thing, and it shouldn't be happening. But we all have a hand in it because we are a collective consciousness, and we have lifetimes of doing these things. It's all cyclical patterns. We're just recycling what we've done in the past. That's where we really can learn from history, and that's why I wrote the book Spirit Traveler.
Sonia Grace with us. Sonia, what about tricksters? What if they're not angels, but they happen to be somewhat demonic, and they try to trick us, to make us think they're angels, and then we get trapped. We end up doing something we shouldn't have done.
Right.
Does that happen?
Absolutely. And this
boy.
Okay, George, this is the thing. I can see all levels of the astral plane, from angels, aliens, all the way down to the creepiest, smarmiest entities And I clear this stuff from people. I'm able to clear it out of their body, their field, all of it. I take, you know, energetic probes and stuff that aliens leave behind out of people's bodies. But people can't always see this stuff. I have never met anyone else who can see on the level that I do see. And a lot of the, you know, medicine people, shamans, people in all over the world call me to clear them and to get this stuff off of them because I have the ability to see it. Not everybody can. So people have to develop their feeling, that empathic part of them, so that they can learn through feeling what the difference is. And if our vibration is really high, meaning we're meditating, we're really keeping our filters clear, we're not, you know, drugging and alcoholing it up to a point where we're not clear anymore, we're keeping our energy high, then we can start to learn and have some discernment of what it is that we feel has come into the room.
Karma. You mentioned that karma plays a part in how angels react to us. Could that be karma from a past life as opposed to the current life?
Absolutely, George. Absolutely. We have karma. I mean, most people incarnated back during Atlantis and Lemuria. That's when most people came through. And this new phase of humanity started around 10,000 BC at the end of the Ice Age. And all of us, you, me, many people, we all met, we all got together in Atlantis and Lemuria and said, okay, we're gonna help evolve the human race. This new phase of humanity, we're gonna jump in and we're gonna do lifetime after lifetime evolving the species. And, you know, here we are. We're now coming to the end of this phase of humanity. And people are all in a tizzy. Oh, my God, you know, what's my purpose? And what do I need to be doing? And I'm spiritual, and I've got to figure this out. And, you know, and it's fantastic that people are, you know, like bringing this awareness to their lives. But what we would really help us to remember is that it's not a race. It's not a competition. And the best navigational system that we have is our heart, is through love and compassion.
Truck driver had called during one of our shows, and he was talking about how he was driving at night, dozing off around a very curvy area of a cliff. And he said he snapped up, he woke up just as he was about ready to go over the cliff because he fell asleep, mm-hmm. and he saw a hand on his steering wheel, wasn't his, that pulled the wheel back onto the road, or he would have gone right over. And he said, George, I was the only one in the cab.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you explain those stories?
Right. And that's what I love about life on Earth, is that there are things that are unexplainable. And we have these moments, you know, these conversations like we're having, where we get to tell the miracle story, the thing that happened, you know, Aunt Lucy had someone come visit her when she was dying and she knew it was an angel. You know, it's like these things are what keeps humanity filled with hope. This is what keeps us alive and keeps us going and keeps us really fighting for the future for our children.
Where do we get your books, Sonia? Where are they available?
At my website, Sonia, S-O-N-J-A, Grace, G-R-A-C-E.com.
Very good. And we're going to come back in a moment and take phone calls for the remaining hour with you about angels, angelic stories, share them, or questions for Sonia Grace as well. And again, that link up of her website, we make it so easy for you, is at coasttocoastam.com. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You get information from us every day. And download our free apps, if you would, too. Some exciting things coming in about a month with the apps. That's all I'm going to tell you, but they're free, so go grab them right now in your app store. They're the coasttocoastam.com apps. And we will be back in a moment with your calls during this holiday season. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.